Okay, so continuing in Siman Pei Zayin, we began last time with the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Rama. The Rama derived from the fact that you could put kaskasim in blood and eat the blood, or drink the blood, the fact that if there are kaskasim in the blood, there is no issue of maris ayin, one could drink the blood. So that shows us that a heker works for maris ayin, and therefore the Rama extrapolated that hu adin l'gabi bas b'chalav, if you put some of the shells or the shavings of the almonds, there would be no bas b'chalav. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger disagreed, and he said, no, that's not true. A heker doesn't automatically work for maris ayin. So this relates to a general debate in Poskim about whether one has to be concerned with Maris Ayin in terms of cases, A, does a heker work, and B, where what likelihood of suspicion is necessary for something to be usher because of Maris Ayin. And we'll deal with both of those issues. First issue, we see in a number of places, so obviously we're not going to do it comprehensively now, but just to show you one place where you see this debate, like Mar says that if a person's clothing gets wet on Shabbos, they can't hang them out to dry because someone might think that they were laundered, and even B'chadri Chadarim, we paskin, that's aser. The Magen Avraham says, what's the halacha if they only got a little wet? Meaning to say that it doesn't look like they were laundered because they're only slightly wet. So the Magen Avraham says, in this case, Nachlu alav mayim u'atim, mutar l'shatchan d'leka l'meichash b'zeh, shiach sheduhu shekivsan. Since in this particular application, there's no chash that it doesn't look like you washed them, so it's mutter. If you look at the Mishneh Berurah, he cites that harbe achronim disagree with this, and he says the reason for the machmirim is because Hatam delo chilku chachamim betakanasam. That's in Siman Shin Aleph Sif Mem Hei and Mishneh Berurah Kuf Samach Gimel. So the Mishneh Berurah is saying that there's a machlokas, basically, where there isn't a concern that people are going to think that you laundered it. Do we say lo plug? You can never hang out your clothing to dry, or no? The Magen Avraham says if there's no chash, then it's mutter. There's a debate about, in the next Mishneh Berurah, in Sifkan Kuf Samach Dalid, about what's the halacha, are you allowed to hang out dirty diapers? So the Mishneh Berurah says you can, because tsoa mochiach alayhem. Then he says, well, what about if there's no tsoa, just as mei raglayim? So then he says, still many are mekel, dehakol yodim shederach hatinokos lahashtin, uvilvad shelo yishtachem keneged hatanur, b'makom shel yad zoledes, but a different issue. So the chai adam there is mekel. What's the difference between the first case where he says it's a low plug and the second case where he says it's not? So, hakol yodim? Well, maybe the first one was also kol yodim, even if it's low plug. So the poskim start talking about, well, maybe the gzera was not said about something like diapers, where most of the time where they're hung out to dry, it's not because they were, it's because they were soiled. So already, even within the Mishneh Berurah, the distinctions become fine. Just as another interesting example, Rav Moshe has a kula. Rav Moshe writes that if you hang up a winter coat that's dry clean only, it's mutter. Why? Because that's like the case of diapers. Nobody launders those at home. Whereas if you hang up a coat that is a raincoat that you might wash at home, right? Some raincoats are machine washable. So that's usser, even if it's raining outside. Meaning to say, even though nobody's going to suspect that if you have your raincoat that's not dry clean only hanging up when it's pouring outside, that you actually just happen to have laundered your coat, right? It's because it's a low plug. So again, you see the poskim going ahead and saying that we sort of look, is this the type of thing that they made the gzeira on? Then we apply the low plug, even if it's in a situation where they're not going to be choshesh for you, that you particularly washed it. So Rav Moshe is saying, they made the gzeira on things that are machine washable. Kilu, right? So once it's machine washable, it's usher, even if it's in a situation where nobody will be choshesh because it's lo pluk. What the Mishnah Berurah is saying is maybe the gzeira wasn't said on diapers. But once the gzeira was said on a coat or on a shirt, so then it applies even in a case where nobody's going to be choshesh you, like against the Magen Avraham. Vavadia is maybe a little more mako by raincoats. And he does throw in uvitzira fasvar shehubi megashamim v'yecholin litlos shabega nisratev megashamim. But even he doesn't rely on that alone. He doesn't just say, "Oh, anytime there's no practical marisa, nobody's going to be choshishu it's mutter." He also throws in the fact that it's not the derech to wash these things. So what you see, and again, now is not the time to go into the gedarim of this. But when we have cases that are usher because of Maris Ayin, many poskim say it's usher, even in cases where practically there's no concern with Maris Ayin, because we see the gzeira as a low plug, but at the same time, they still try to see what specifically the gzeira was said about, and for that we look back at perhaps the original gzeira, maybe it wasn't said about everything. So this type of debate, which we see over here in terms of the Shkedim and the Kaskasim and the like, so it appears in many of the sugyas of Maris Ayin. Again, now's not the time to look at every instance, but just so you know. The next question we have to consider is, do we paskin like the Pri Chadash? If you recall, we saw last time the following question. The Rama wrote that you don't need to put the almonds by the chalav shkedim if you're eating basar of b'chalav shkedim, but you do if you're eating basar behema b'chalav shkedim. And the difference is, because basar behema b'shkedim is maris ayin and adin deraisa, basar of b'chalav is maris ayin and adin derabanan. The shach said mapitom. We find plenty of cases of maris ayin bedinim derabanan. How do you answer this kasha? So we saw the Pischei Tshuva says that the Rama was only Mekel B'chadrei Chadarim. We saw Rav Moshe said Shabbos is different. And we saw the Pri Chadash, who said the following klal. Said there's no such thing as Maris Ayin that's not in Shas. No such thing. And therefore, by the case of Dam and Kaskasim, that's in Shas. Therefore, you have to worry. In this case, you don't have to worry. And therefore, the kashas that the Pshach asked from Hilchos Shabbos aren't a kasha, because all those cases are cases where Chazal Gazru. We noted that the Pri Chadash doesn't answer the Ramah Shita, because the Ramah, you don't make the Pri Chadash, it's mutter even by Basar Behema. So the question is, do we paskin like the Pri Chadash? If we paskin like the Pri Chadash, and the Plesi also paskins this way in our Siman, so then it turns out that the scope of the prohibition of Maris Ayin is quite narrow. There are very few cases. If it's not in Shas, you don't have to worry. Or do we paskin like those who disagree, including the Rama? So there's a tshuva in Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe Evan Ha'ezer, Chelek Beis Simen Yud Beis, who's talking about Sheitlach. And Rav Moshe asks, was asked, are you allowed to wear Sheitel? Sheitelach should be a problem of Maris Ayin. And in fact, there were poskim, most prominently displayed frequently on Pashkevilim, that say it's usher to wear sheitlach, and among the reasons that it's usher is because of Maris Ayin. So Rav Moshe was asked this question. Rav Moshe's wife wore sheitel. So Rav Moshe answers it's okay, and his lashon is, Vatam pachat, shekevan shelo matzino b'gemara she'asru. Ein lemelaf mimikomo sacherim sheasru mishamars ayin. Dein lemelaf chada meidach. Vilachein namar iser mars ayin beyichud bechol davar sheasru. Now, it sounds like from that line alone that Rav Moshe, he doesn't quote the Pri Chadash, but it sounds like he's accepting the Pri Chadash. What is he saying? He's saying that you only have to worry about mars ayin b'makom shegazru. We don't find a gzeira against sheitlach, so therefore there's no Maris Ayin. So this led some to claim that Rav Moshe follows the Pri Chadash, and certainly if you looked at this line alone, that is the impression that you get. However, there are a number of other tshuvos igros Moshe where he clearly does not seem to paskin like the Pri Chadash. I'll mention just three of them. Rav Moshe was asked about going into a restaurant where they serve, well, let's say not a good hechsher, not a good enough hechsher. It's actually a kosher restaurant, but not sufficiently kosher, like they're open on Shabbos. So he says it's aser. You want to just go in and have a cantaloupe? Still, it's aser mipshnei amaris ayin v'chshad. Aser? That's not mentioned in Shas, as far as I know. Or Rav Moshe has a tshuva about davening in a conservative shul, Orthodox minyan in a conservative shul. Aser. Aval hacha shelo chamor leinchi kol kach yesh levad iser achshad gam iser maris ayin shelo yol medu mimenu lezalzel biser zet. Again, that's not something that is mentioned in Shas. A third example, Rav Moshe was writing about maris ayin, about going on a bus on Shabbos, if there's a way to somehow do it beheter, and among other things he says it's aser because of chshad, which is an iser d'oraisa. So that's in Yoredeya Chelak Aleph Simin Mem Dalet. There he says there's marasayin for tiltal muksa, and therefore it's aser. So the question is, does Rav Moshe follow the Pri Chadash or not? One place he seems to, in three places that we mentioned, as well as probably others, he seems not to. So I think the answer is as follows. There's a famous tshuva Rav Moshe, Or Chaim Chelak Dalet Simin Pei Beis, where he distinguishes between two terms, chshad and maris ayin. Many poskim make similar distinctions, though some of them phrase it a little differently, but along similar lines. There's an interesting question whether chshad and maris ayin are bedavka in the Gemara or not. It might depend on the girsa of the Tosefta versus the Gemara in Shabbos. But Rav Moshe assumes that there are two categories, chshad and maris ayin. Chshad is an iser d'oraisa, based off of the pasuk Vayisem Nikiyem Mehashem Umi Yisrael, and Rav Moshe assumes that's mamish gzeres hakasav. It's a din d'oraisa. Then there's marasayin. What's marasayin if it's not chshad? So chshad means that if you do something that people will suspect you of doing iser, then there's a din d'oraisa called chshad. Marasayin is one of two categories. Number one is that there's no chshad that's there because nobody's going to suspect you of doing the wrong thing. Rather, the concern is that they will extrapolate the incorrect halacha. Meaning to say, they'll see me doing activity X and they're not going to say, oh, that guy's in the Chal Shabbos. Instead, they're going to think, oh, activity Y is permissible on Shabbos because they won't recognize the distinction between X and Y. Or they won't realize that I'm actually doing X, maybe I'm doing Y. And therefore, this will lead people to derive the incorrect halacha. And that's marasayin. And that's a din derabanan. That's category number one of marasayin. That's a simple distinction that many poskim say. Rav Moshe says there's also a second category of marasayin. And that is where it's like chshad, meaning to say the concern is that they will think you're doing the wrong thing, but it doesn't rise to the level of chshad, and yet still sometimes they were misaking. So he gives an example. The example is that you're not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos, bikablanos, or allow your workers on Shabbos that are working bikablanos to work for you on Shabbos, because people might think that they're schirim, and it's aser, because to hire a schir, a poel, schir yom, on Shabbos. So it's now, right, just to go back to the basic rules, Kablin, we will say, is adaita denafshe avid. He's a contractor, and if he wants to work on Shabbos, and so he could take off on Sunday, then that should be okay. It's his choice. He could work on Sunday and take off on Shabbos, he could work on Shabbos and take off on Sunday, and yet the Gemara says that at least under certain circumstances, this is aser. There might be distinctions. Is it in the city? Is it out of the city? Whatever. But at least sometimes it's aser because of marasayin. So Moshe says the following. It's not like schirim are any more common than a kavlan. So technically speaking, this would not fall into the category of chshad. Somebody who sees you doesn't know. Maybe this is a schir. Maybe it's a kavlan. However, under certain circumstances, they were misakein maris ayin, even though the din Torah of chshad isn't relevant. It's because of chshad in the sense that people will suspect that you're doing the wrong thing. But Moshe shows that the Rishonim say that this is a problem because they'll think it's a sachir, even though it's a kablan. But nevertheless, it's only a din derabanan because it doesn't rise to the threshold of suspicion that's necessary for the din Torah of chshad to be relevant. Now here, it's about this that Rav Moshe says that it only applies when Chazal were misakein. So going back to the Sheit Lach Tshuva, what Rav Moshe is saying is the following. Maybe you'll say that the din of chshad applies to Sheit Lach. No. People that see a woman wearing a sheitel, they're not going to be choshish for her that it's her natural hair. As Rav Moshe actually continues in the Tshuva, most people could actually tell the difference between a sheitel and natural hair. Moshe says, even if men can't, most men can, and certainly women can. And therefore, I'll read you, right? Uvepeh nachris vadei ha'ein lameilav chada de'ein ze'isr lav el isr asei. Va'od amishum shebirov ha'pa'amim nikr sha'asaros hein mepeh nachris. Va'afim eino nikr la'anashim, she'en mistakum kol kach b'nashim, baruch Hashem. But vadei, by nashim it's nikr. Fine. So Rav Moshe says this doesn't rise to the level of chshad. Oh, so maybe you would think it's asher mishum maris ayin. After all, we do have cases where chazal were misakin maris ayin, machmas chshad, meaning to say the concern that people will think you're doing the wrong thing, where it's not such a high level of suspicion, it doesn't reach that threshold. And it's about that that Rav Moshe says, that's only hechi shetiknu. So I don't know what the threshold is. We'll actually define it a little more in one moment. But whatever the threshold is, let's imagine that the threshold is most people think you're doing something yisr. So then it's asr mishum chshad. If most people won't think you're doing something asr, it's not asr mishum chshad. Sometimes, for various reasons, Chazal were still misakein shamar zayin. Other times, they weren't. If they weren't misakein, so then you don't have to worry. And that's why sheitlach are not asr mishum marisayin. So Rav Moshe then is not saying we paskin like the Pri Chadash. He's saying that the Pri Chadash is sort of right, meaning to say that if something doesn't reach the level of chshad, plus there's no concern of category one of marisayin, which means people will extrapolate the wrong halacha, and then if Chazal weren't koveya, so then it doesn't become Asr Mishum Marisayin. And we see this idea perhaps in a number of poskim. Number one, we see it in the Shach in Sifkat and Zayin. Perhaps. The Shach writes in Sifkat and Zayin that there's no Maris Ayin for Bishul in our Siman. Even though there's Maris Ayin for Achila, there's no Maris Ayin for Bishul. The Rama seems to disagree with this. The Shach claims that the Rama doesn't disagree with this, but then he gets into a problem because clearly one Rama does agree with this. We'll get back to that Shach and Rama a little later. But the Shach says, why is it that there's no Marisayin for Bishul? The reason is because people will think that you're doing it for Refuah. So the point is that it doesn't reach the level of concern. Now, if it was in Chazal, if Chazal said you couldn't cook with the Chalav Isha, or you couldn't cook with Chalav Mesa because of Marisayin, fine. So then it wouldn't matter that people wouldn't think that you're doing Bishul Basar B'Chalav. But once Chazal did not make such a takana, so therefore it's going to be okay because they'll think it's L'Refuah. Now, I don't think that everybody will automatically think that, but what the Shach is saying is since most people will think it's l'refuah, it doesn't reach that level where chshad kicks in and prohibits it, even though it was not prohibited by the Gemara. So you see that perhaps in the Shach. The Kreis Uplasi on our Siman says this explicitly. His threshold is, kol hecha d'shchicha teira leka mishum maris ayin. Likewise, the Tiferes Yisrael writes, in the Kalkela Shashabas Osla Medalid, there's no chshasha mars ayin, elok sheish ktsas hochacha litzad ha'iser, yoser mileheter. So if it's most likely aser, or most people will think you're doing something aser, so then it's aser mishamar sayin. If most people will not think you're doing something that's aser, even though some people might think you're doing something aser, so then the Plesi, the Kalkel, the Tiferes Yisrael, perhaps the Shach, sounds like from Rav Moshe, we could be Mako. The Badi HaShulchan, in the Biurim on our Simen, on Dibar Maschal Mishum, on page 11, says it sounds like the Rama disagrees with these poskim. Why? Because the Rama asered almond milk. He says it sounds like from the Rama that almond milk was a pretty common thing in his time, and still, he says it's aser unless you, for when it's a dinder rice, unless you put out the almond peels or shavings. So he thinks that maybe the Rama would be machmir against these poskim. I'm not sure it's 100% conclusive, but that's his diuk. So this is very practical in terms of our simon. Many, obviously it's practical all over the place. In terms of our simon, the poskim talk about this. Do you have to worry about margarine or non-dairy creamer or parva ice cream or the like? So many of the kashrus agencies, when parva creamer first came out, they said that you need to serve from the carton, right? This was 20, 30 years ago when they first had non-dairy creamer. So even if it's at an elegant meal, the OU paskind that you can't, you know, you're serving your tea in fancy silver teapots, but you have to serve the creamer from the non, you know, from the Rich Whip carton. But many poskim say that nowadays this is no longer necessary. If you want one example of such a tshuva, take a look at Yechav Adas, Chela Gimel, Simen Nun Tes. Rav Avadia writes, Mutter Lishtot, this is his conclusion after his discussion, Chalav Sinteti Achar Arucha Besarit, and Glida Mechalav Sinteti Lachar Arucha Besarit. There's no Maris Ayin, because these are so common nowadays that everybody knows about Parv creamer, and there's no concern any longer. The Badi HaShulchan is a little more reluctant to be Mako, because, as we said, he thought that Parv milk was also common in the days of the Rama. So he's willing to be Mako for Parv ice cream, because there, when you're not eating at the same time, then there's more room for leniency, he says. So if you're talking about the creamer at dessert, so then it would be okay. But let's say a cheeseburger with the real meat and parve cheese, so then the Rama isn't talking about bishul. That's a machlokas. So would the Rama correct? But the Badi HaShulchan says that post meal, correct? Post meal, even within the Rabbanans, post meal is more kal. So good. So
more cow than
maybe
the two together?
Maybe.
What's
a Ayin Sham? This is like a gzera. Maybe there's more room for leniency. But you're right. I think Ariel's pointing out if we look at
the rest of the Ramah, right? The Rosh Hashanah is that we go by Ikara. Otherwise, the Ramah is Rosh
Hashanah. So now you're assuming that the Ramah himself would only be Machmir if you are Mevashel.
No, there was that. There was saying Ikara the Doraisa.
Good.
Is as far as Machmir and Ganser. But how do we know that to make a difference between there was Ikara the Doraisa and another there was Ikara the Doraisa?
Correct. So if you go ahead, and that's why there are poskim that say such a chiluk doesn't make sense, that if you.
That's what all the poskim were assuming when they asked when they said they had to put the cream on the table. That's what everyone was assuming 20 years ago.
They were
creamer.
Yeah, I agree.
All the poskim were assuming, like I'm saying.
No, because that's what Rav Avadia says. The Badi HaShulchan says that when it's
creamer, at the end of the meal, you
I understand, but that was before it was well known. Now, there was a real concern. People would think it's milk.
Oh, those poskim were only saying what time is it.
Right.
That's okay. Right. Then make the conclusion.
I understand. So
you could definitely have explained your fact without it.
You could have said that. So you're correct.
I'm right, but I'm wrong.
Take a look there.
Lashon Rahman is Rabbi Durachman. He doesn't say in Ikar of the Oris.
I know, but how do you explain the Lashon? In both cases, they're not the Rishon.
I think he's talking about Bishon.
That's not the. Alright, then
the Shaftik is special.
Alright,
I know.
There's
a
Raif
that
enters Chattas. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Let's take a
look. The Ramal is a Ramal Taras Chattas. So, okay. So, if we follow the Shach and the Ramal Taras Chattas, so then it's only when it's Mamish and Isser Deraisa. If.
Then forget, then the Ishach will definitely cancel.
Okay, but then maybe no, just one second. They're sniffing. You're right. If you put everything into formal categories, then no. But if you say that where there's a significant concern of people getting confused, so then even if it's an Issa Drabbanan, we're going to be Machmir, and then the formal din applies only in a din deraisa.
No, but
the Ramah himself is only talking about a din deraisa.
Right? So the same thing that that is, it's talking about deraisa. When it's not deraisa,
I understand.
Be
that is an argument you could definitely make. That's definitely an argument.
Even if the Ramah buys the Shach, it's not going to be gone.
Okay, but maybe we'll have sniff him in both cases. So as long as A, it's not a deraisa, and B, it's well known and not even close to the rice. Again, these are the chilukim that it's hard to. We don't paskin like that. We probably paskin like the shach on that shayla. Maybe it's a shayla. Anyway, to go back, so that take a look at the Badi Shulchan on that if you'd like. Just one second. Now, one other point. So I saw a interesting tshuva in its document. X94, in the OU documents, the question was, this might have been an old tshuva, what about serving cheeseburgers at a kosher restaurant? So the particular question was a fleishig restaurant with par of cheese. So there was, A, is there maris ayin, and B, if there is, what type of hacker is necessary? So Rav Belsky and Rav Shechter both assume there is maris ayin. Here might be even deraisa. And what type of hecker is necessary? So they're makel for the following hecker. If you go ahead and you put on the menu and on the receipt the statement that this cheese isn't cheese, isn't dairy, so that's sufficient. So first of all, you're assuming a hecker with words is enough. Not everybody likes that. The Badi Shulchan isn't into that. And then they're noting that even though this hecker doesn't work for everybody, meaning to say, if I'm sitting at the restaurant, so I didn't necessarily see the menu, and I didn't necessarily see the receipt, nevertheless, that's okay. You don't need to, put a sign at the table, this cheese is fake cheese. Well, then, so they're assuming not that way. The fact that there's a hashgacha, right, on a restaurant is not enough of the hacker. And just one second. But what they said was that you see, the way Rabbi Belsky put it was that the hecker of putting almonds on the table is quite subtle, and many people who see the almonds won't make the inference that the milk is parv. This shows that hecker only has to give some indication, but doesn't have to be infallible. We can extend that to say that even if some people won't see the hecker, it's still an acceptable hecker. So that was the ruling of the OU. One other interesting tshuva from the OU on this topic is generally relating to Maris Ayin. This isn't Basar B'chala, but I thought this was interesting. The question was asked, can mashgichim who have long road trips go to McDonald's and a rest stop to buy coffee? Is that Asar Mishum Maris Ayin? So, first of all, is it kosher? So, we won't get into the kashrus issues too much, but the OU says, yes, there's no kashrus issue. Coffee, sugar, milk, water, which are the ingredients in, let's say, standard coffee, are all what they call group one ingredients, which means things that don't need a hechsher on them because they are assumed kosher. Maybe you'll say it's bishalakum. After all, coffee is eino nachal chai, and it's nachal al shulchan malachim. So the Pri Chadash, as you point out correctly, Kuf Yudalid, Vav says that we don't need, there's no issue of Bishul Akum for coffee because it's both water. Any water-based drink is seen as water, and since water is Nachal Kamo Shulchai, so there's no issue of Bishul Akum. What about the Isser of Shechar Akum? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Lamed Aleph Amud Beis says that you can't go to a bar to drink beer. The Gemara says, or Rashi says, that cider's okay, because it's not as common as beer. So what's the halacha? So Rebelski said that coffee is like cider, and therefore it's okay. Rav Shechter, and this is already a discussion if you take a look in the Pisrei Tshuva, Rav Shechter said no, coffee is not like cider, because coffee is very common. Rashi was only makel on cider because it's an uncommon drink. Again, here the issue is chasnas. So Rav Shechter said, yeah, you could go ahead and buy the coffee in McDonald's, but you can't drink it in McDonald's. You have to bring it back to your car to drink it. Rebelski, as I said, wasn't concerned. He didn't think that you should eat in the McDonald's itself. You should eat in the rest stop area, the public area outside. So what about Maris Ayin, though? So, one other issue is the issue of the dishwashing and the like. So we'll talk about that, Bezras Hashem, when we get to dishwashing in the Starbucks, Shiloh. So we'll get back to that. But what about Maris Ayin? Do you have to be concerned? So Rav Belsky and Rav Shechter both said there's no Maris Ayin, because any reasonable person who sees you going into a McDonald's, you know, your hat and jacket on, will think you're there to go to the bathroom, you're there to buy a Coke, you're there to buy a coffee. Like we said before, there's only a concern of Maris Ayin, except for the cases mentioned in Chazal, when a certain threshold of suspicion has been reached. Many poskim say Yoser Isser Mehater. So nobody's going to extrapolate that you're allowed to buy a cheeseburger in McDonald's from the fact that you're going in there, and B, nobody reasonable is going to think that you're buying basar b'chalav. And that being the case, especially on a rest stop, right? You know, maybe if there's like a McDonald's next to a kosher stop, so okay. So why are you going? You know, you could get your coffee next door. What are you going to the McDonald's for? Okay, maybe not. I don't know, but certainly at a rest stop where there aren't necessarily other options unless you go well out of your way. So they thought that there is no issue of Maris Ayin. It's mutter to go buy coffee at a rest stop, McDonald's. Then they concluded the tshuva with saying, and even though perhaps one would generally want to be machmir about this, and that's a fine thing, however, you shouldn't put yourself in danger by driving while tired because of the chumrah not to do that, and therefore better to go into the McDonald's and buy your coffee and be mekayim unishmartem me'od l'nafshosecha. Okay. Yes. The way the Shaf understands it is, it's talking about a dish where meat was cooked in almond milk, or chicken was cooked in almond milk.
Of
an Isser D'oraisa, correct. Okay, fine. That brings us to a conclusion of Maris Ayin. Bishul achar bishul bebasar b'chalav. What's the halacha? So, if you take a look at the Gilyon Marsha, it was based in my edition at the beginning of the Simen. So, he writes that even though we have a p'tur on Shabbos for bishul achar bishul, at least certainly according to many Rishonim and everybody when we're dealing with solids, that's not true for basar b'chalav. So, if you have a cooked meat and cooked cheese that were both already cooked, that now you cook together, even though for Shabbos that might not be bishul, you wouldn't be chayiv, because ein bishul achar bishul, but for basar b'chalav, you would be chayiv. What's the pshat? L'chara, the pshat is that basar b'chalav, that ma'aseh Shabbos is totally in the tikkun, and there's no tikkun if everything's already been cooked, it's already fully ra'oi. Whereas basar b'chalav is taloi in the ma'isa. If you've done a ma'isa bishul, so then you're chayev. And this would parallel the idea that we talked about last time when we said why perhaps your bishul of a kol shehu is a chatzi shir for basar b'chalav, but a chatzi malacha for Chol Shabbos. Why is that? Because Shabbos is concerned with the totza'ah, and that requires a tikkun, a significant tikkun, Whereas Bas B'Chalav is focused on the Maisa, and therefore, or maybe the Maisa or the Chibor, we'll get into that a little more, and therefore it is different. Now, we should note, yeah.
How about if you have Bas B'Chalav that's already cooked together?
Good, we're going to get there. So that, so far, we've only talked about cooked meat, cooked cheese that interact. We'll talk about your question in just a moment. Now, does that mean that nobody learns from Shabbos to Bas B'Chalav? So if you take a look, for example, we'll talk about this more when we get to it later, but the Gra, for example, things that we extrapolate in terms of the halachos of Me'ushan or Achame Tveria from Shabbos to Bas B'Chalav. So for example, the Gra says that just like for Shabbos we say Chame Tveria is Pater, so too for Bas B'Chalav there's no Isser D'Oraisa of Bishol by Chame Tveria. Maybe Lafuke, the Magid Mishnah, and the Beis Yosef, but at least that's what the Gra held. So does that mean that the Gra disagrees with this whole thing, and the Gra would say that just like there's Ein Bishol Achar Bishol v'Shabbos, so too there should be Ein Bishol Achar Bishol for Bas B'Chalav, just like we extrapolate for Chame Tveria, we would extrapolate for Bishol Achar Bishol. So one could certainly be Mechalek. Why? Because one is a Shaila on the definition of Bishol. Chame Tveria is not Bishol on Shabbos, and that we will extrapolate, because there's one definition of Bishol B'chala Tarakula. Then this question of Bishol Achar Bishol might be a different question. It's not concerning the definition of Bishol. The Ptur on Shabbos for Bishol Achar Bishol isn't because it doesn't meet the criteria or the definition of Bishol. It's because there's no Tikkun. In which case, in a question like this, we wouldn't extrapolate. So one has to keep in mind that the question of whether we extrapolate from Shabbos to Bas B'Chalav is not a question, that's not yes or no, that's binary and will apply equally throughout the Siman. And each and every question, we have to see, does it make sense to extrapolate or not? Now, yeah.
Just if you hold that each Bishlach, so then clearly it's not about
Not necessarily. The question is, why are there those that say Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol B'davar Lach? So, if you ask, for example, Rabbi Willig, he will say that's because B'davar Lach there is a tikkun when you're Mevashel Achar when you do Bishol Achar Bishol. So we could talk about why he thinks that he's medayik from the Lashonos that Rishonim Azalei Bishulei. You know, cold chicken soup is worthless as opposed to cold schnitzel. So therefore, you've done a significant tikkun when you warm chicken soup, whereas you've done no significant tikkun when you warm schnitzel. That is a very interesting and important discussion in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. But at the very least, if you ask Rabbi Willig to jump to the bottom line, he will say, no, that fits perfectly with the positions that we set forth thus far. In other words, you need a tikkun on Shabbos, and the opinions that say, Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol B'davar Lach, is because they hold that there is a tikkun because when it gets called azalei bishulei and the like. Okay. Now, now to Meir's question. Well, what about if they were already cooked together? Can you recook? If you recook Bas B'Chalav that was cooked together, right? You cooked meat and milk. You have a pot full of meat milk soup, and now you recook it. Or let's say that's lach, so it's even solid. You recook the solid. What's the halacha? So the Prima Gadim, Mishpat Zozav, Kuf Hei, Oz Beis, is Nota Lahakel, cited by the Gilead Marsha here. Rabbi Akiva Eger, in the first one, is Medayik from the Hagosh Shari Dura, also Lahakel. What's his deal? Because Hagosh Shari Dura says that if you went ahead and you did Kavush by Bas B'Chalav, right? Let's say you soaked meat in milk for 24 hours, and now it's asr midrabanan to eat that because of Bas B'Chalav, derabanan, not d'oraisa because it's not derech bishol. But if you cook it now, it will be an iser d'oraisa, right? So he's saying, it's only because originally there wasn't halachic bishol, but Mashma that if it was originally cooked, the Agosh Aridur would say there's no bishalach bishul. There would be no problem of recooking or reheating. So Riki Vager says, you see from here that even if we hold yesh bishalach bishul by Bas B'challah, that's when both the meat and the milk were first cooked separately and then cooked together. But if they were cooked together to recook it, that would be mutter.
So like the prima gun.
Yeah, like the prima gun. It's a raya for the prima gun. Correct. We will, and that might be because the Isser Bas B'challah is creating a Chetza of Bas B'challah. Here it's already been created. Now we're going to go ahead and see that this question is not so simple. Not everybody agrees with Kivir and Prima Gadim, and it might actually be a Machlokas Rishonim. Where do you see this in the Gemara? So the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis cites a dispute. According to Rav, if you cooked a Chatizayis Basar and Chatizayis Chalav, you're Chayev Be'achila, but Asher Mishum Bishol, and according to Levi, you're Chayev Mishum Achila and Mishum Bishol. So the Gemara asks, that doesn't make any sense, the position of Rav. Either you should be Chayev for both, or Chayev for neither. And the Gemara says that, no, Beba Miyore Gedola. That's the case of Rav. So what does Ba Miyore Gedola mean? So one possibility is what you just mentioned from Rashi. Rashi says, Bar Yogdola means to say, if you go ahead and you have a pot that has 10 kezesim of basar and 10 kezesim of chalav, and you cook them together, and you take out a kezias and you eat them, that's when Rav says you're chayev for achila. And of course, there you'd be chayev for bishul as well. But let's say you cooked a half a kezias of basar and half a kezias of chalav, and you ate it, so you'd be pater for bishul and pater for achila. That's the way the Rashi lives it. So it's basically the studim. When he says you're chayev b'achila, it's talking about yor gedola. When he says you're pater for bishul, it's talking about yor ktana. It's talking about half and half, which is a little bit dochak because it's letzdadim. So Rabbeinu Gershom on that Gemara says, no, it's not letzdadim. How does Rabbeinu Gershom read the Gemara? The hach b'mayaskinan b'bay miyor gedola shall basar b'chalav mivushal v'laka chatzi zayis me'oso basar. The chatzi zayis me'oso chalav, the chazar ubishla and pam acheres, a bishul lo laki dekvar mevushal, achila laki dachol kazayis iser. When do we have a case where you're chayiv mishum bishul? Chayiv mishum achila and pater mishum bishul. If you take a half a kazayis of basar and half a kazayis of chalav from a yara gedola, you're pater for bishul. Why? Ein bishalach arbishal. You're chayiv mishum achila because you have basar b'chalav. You don't have to say let's dub it. The very same case that you're pater for bishal, you're chayiv for achila. In the sense, it's much more meduyak than Rashi. So, if you learn like that, so at the very least, Rav is saying you're pater because ein bishalach arbishal. Now, this is your case of bishalach arbishal. This is a case where they were already cooked once together and you're cooking them a second time. Sounds like it was already cooked. The laka chatizayis me oso basar that was already cooked with chalav. The chatizayis me oso chalav that was already cooked with basar. Yeah, me oso basar. V'chazar v'chatizayis me oso chalav. That's his lashon. V'chazar bishlan pamacheres. So at least Rav holds of ein bishalach bishal. But the question is, at least according to most Rishonim, we pass in like Levi. Well, what would Levi say in that case? So it could be that Levi says you're chayev in that case, because yesh bishalach bishul. Not clear. If you take a look at Rabbeinu Gershom, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, it's not clear why he thinks Levi says you're chayev. He combines Levi with the second half of the Gemara, bishul shachin, ochlin oso. But that might actually be the machlokas. Maybe yes, maybe no. So it's interesting, at least this question of bishalach or bishal is discussed in the Gemara if you learn like Rabbeinu Gershom, though it's not so clear what the maskana would be. Now, in terms of the general shaila of bishalach or bishal and the difference between basar b'chalav versus shari surin, so if you take a look at the Shiurei Harav Simen Nun Beis, he wants to say that this shayla of bishalach or bishul bebasar b'chalav should be tali in the machlokas Rashban Rambam and Hilchos Shabbos about bishalach or bishul. We'll get into this in honor of Arya a little bit. So, the way the Velt says the machlokas is as follows. You could be megamgem on certain assumptions in the Velt's saying it over, but this is the way the Velt says it over. What's the halacha if you cook something from machal ben drusai to mevushal kol tzarcha? We know that if you cook something from raw to machal ben drusai on Shabbos, you're chayiv. What about if you bring it from machal ben drusai to mevushal kol tzarcha? So on the one hand, you've affected a significant tikkun. You brought this from something that was barely edible to something delicious. On the other hand, it was already cooked in a technical sense. So what's the halacha? So the Rambam seems to say that you're chayev, and the Rashba seems to say you're potter. So what's the machlokas? So the way the Rav said the machlokas, or many people say it this way, the way the Velt says the machlokas, is they're arguing about the following. According to the Rashba, it's totally in the Maisa Bishul. Since you've done a Maisa Bishul, we pass an Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, a Maisa Bishul has been done, so you can't be chayev anymore. And according to the Rambam, we focus on the tikkun. Since there's a significant tikkun when you bring it from Machal Ben Drusai to Mevushal Kol Tzarcha, so Memeila you're chayev. And they further are medayik that that's why the Rambam says afterwards, you're not chayev min haTorah if you are mevashel, davar shenachal kamo shulchai. You bake an apple, right? Why? That's not a significant tikkun. It was edible before, it's edible now. Maybe if you learn like the Rashba, you should be chayev b'chiyah gavna. So that's the way the Velt says the machlokas. So how does that relate to basar b'chalav? So the Rav wanted to say that this machlokas in Shabbos would also be a nafkamina for basar b'chalav. If you learn like the Rashba, that ein bishul achar bishul, it's a din, then it's a din in hilchos, bishul shall call it tarkula. So basically, it's not chashev ma'isa bishul. So memela hu adin by basa b'chalav, we should say ein bishul achar bishul. But according to the Rambam, bishul achar bishul is a ma'isa bishul, right? On Shabbos, you have to be potter, happen to be potter, because it's not a tikkun. Memela by basa b'chalav, where we don't care about the tikkun per se, we say that anytime you have a ma'isa bishul, you're chayev, so you'd be chayev. So therefore, if you learn like the Rashba, so then we'll say, just like by Shabbos, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, so too, by Basar B'chalav, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, or to put it differently, the way we were saying it before, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is a din in the definition of Bishul. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul says it's not a Maisa Bishul if it's already been cooked. So a din, Basar B'chalav, you need a Maisa Bishul to be Chayav Mishum Basar B'chalav. Mashein Kein. If you say like the Rambam says you happen to be Pater in Shabbos when it's not a significant Maisa Tikkun, it's not Melechas Machshavas, but maybe by Bas B'chalav you'll be Chayev. So that's the way the Rav says it. Now, this only makes sense if you assume that the Machlokas is about a case where both ingredients are start off raw. Right? Sorry, start off cooked separately. Right? If you assume, the Rav is assuming that the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba, according to the Rambam, you would be chayav if you had cooked milk, cooked meat, and now you cook them together. And according to the Rashba, you would be potter. However, it doesn't tell me anything about the case of where they were, right? Meir's case, where they were first cooked together, and now you recook them together. So we don't actually find any poskim that I'm aware of that say the Rav's version of the Rashba. Meaning to say, I don't know of any poskim that say that you're going to be potter in the case where you have pre-cooked milk, pre-cooked meat, and now you cook them together because ein bishul achar bishul. The whole deal in the poskim is only about the other case. And in fact, the Kresu Plesi says that nobody could possibly say you're potter in the case that the Rav is claiming the Rashba would say you're potter, namely that you have raw, cooked meat, cooked milk, and then you cook them together. Why? The Gemara on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis is discussing the halacha in the Mishnah that says you should not put meat on a milchik table or milk on a fleshik table. And the Gemara asks, one second, isn't that gzeira l'gzeira. Why? Because let's say I put them on the table, and let's say I even eat them together. Eat them bevasachas, right? Still only an iser derabbanan. So the Gemara says, ultimately, no. Gzeira shema yala be'ilfis, that's a kli rishon. So in other words, what happens? The concern is that let's say I take my pot of chalent, right off the crock pot, kli rishon, and I put it on my table. And now, if I happen to be eating some cheese, maybe I'll put some cheese into that chalent. Now that's going to be bishul basar b'chala of deraisa. Oh. And likewise, the reverse. So now, l'chora, the food on your table is cooked. Oh. So, the crazy place, he says, everybody clearly holds a bishul basar, ein bishul achar, the food on your table is cooked. So it must be that everybody holds yesh bishul achar bishul bebasar b'chalav. So that's the crazy place he's ruling. And who disagrees? So the Chassam Sofer on that Gemara, Kufdalet on the base, Yimaschel Sof and the Imre Bina, say no. No raya from there. Because you're right, everybody agrees yesh bishul achar bishul when they both were cooked separately. The whole machloikes is when they were cooked together and then recooked together. So you can't bring a raya from that Gemara at all. So, but if you hold like the Rav that there's actually a machlokes even when they were both cooked separately and then joined, so then yeah, according to everybody, according to all the Achronim, you have a raya that from that Gemara that yesh bishul achar bishul. So the way to be docha the raya is what Ariel's alluding to, which is no, maybe sometimes you have a raw milk on your table. Nowadays we don't have any raw milk on our table because our milk is pasteurized. But in the olden days. Pasteurized, right. Yeah. So so maybe it's not the best raya. So in which case are there any poskim? Are
they not cooked in the ilfis?
They said
the milk.
If I have uncooked milk on the table and I have my chalent kli rishon on the table, so maybe I'll pour some of the milk into the chalent, and then that would be basar b'chalav of deraisa. There's another way to get out of that raya, but we'll get to that when we get to Simon Peches. Now, so are there any poskim that take a stand on the case of where it's been cooked together and you want to recook it together? So first of all, even before we get to the poskim, there are some poskim, but what is the conceptual machlokas? In other words, a question of cook together and then recook together. So a couple ways to understand the conceptual machlokas. Number one is, it's totally in the machlokas rishonim, which we've discussed before, whether basar b'chalav is an iser balua or is an iser bifnei atzmo. If you recall, we saw machlokas Rashba Ran about this. Let's give an example that we discussed last time. Let's say you have a chatichas basar sheba l'chalav. So mamish basar b'chalav de oraisa, right? It was absorbed it when it was fully hot. And now that piece of meat touches another piece of meat or touches a potato. What's the halacha? Is the second piece of meat asar or mutter? So the Rashba says mutter. Ein balua yote b'lo rotev. The Ran says asar. Why? Because the tam basar goes from the first piece to the second piece, and the basar was nas in the vela, so memela tzasar. What does the Rashba say? The Rashba says no, that the iser of basar b'chalav is only when the basar and b'chalav are mixed, are mingled. But here, because we have the principle of ein balua yote b'lo rotev, we know that the tam basar that's leaving is 100% basar, 0% chalav. So it's mutter. In other words, theoretically, even though we paskin basar b'chalav is chanan deraisa, and even if you say that, you're chaya for chatichas basar, that's kezayis basar, chatizayis chalav, chatizayis basar for eating it. Nevertheless, that's only when they're together. But if you were to somehow extract 100% of the challah from this basar, and you'd know with certainty that you did so, that might be impossible, but if you knew, it would be mutter. Fundamentally, even basar b'chalav is an iser balua. Now, if you look at it that way, so it's conceivable that you could say yesh bishalach or bishal bebasar b'chalav. You don't have to, but because the basar is still basar, the chalav is still chalav, it's true that as long as they're together, it's basar b'chalav, but maybe each time you cook it again, so they're sort of interacting, and you've once again done the yisr of basar b'chalav. Mash ein kain, if you learn like the Ran, so the basar b'chalav is already created. You don't have a half a kazayis of basar, half a kazayis of chalav. You have a full kazayis of basar b'chalav. So cooking it again and again and again does nothing new. So, now you don't have to say that for the Rashba, because you could say, even the Rashba says as long as they're together, they're basar b'chalav. They only are chozer leheter if separated. But at least within the view of the Rashba, you could imagine saying, yesh bishalach or bishal, even b'basar b'chalav, b'basar shekvar nivla chalav. You recook the same piece, you could be chayv again. Another way of understanding this machlokas, whether you hold yesh bishalach or bishal b'basar b'chalav, where they've already been cooked together, is if you see it more as a siag for achila, so then you've already done it, it's already basar b'chalav. If bishal is a siag, so it's already been done. Otherwise... saying that since I'm cooking it together, obviously I see this as a hechsher and there's more. Okay, good. So maybe that's not a very convincing. Fine. So is there anyone that actually says yesh bishalach or bishal bebasar b'chalav when they've already been cooked together? So one place where you see this is the Raman Sivvav. We'll get to the four chumras of the Raman Sivvav, but one of them is aster lachtos ha'esh tachas kedera shel akom. So let's say you are using the same oven as a guy, and you want the flame is dying down. You want to do to be machata the gechalim. So the Rama says you're not allowed to do this. Why? Because that's going to cause bishul bas b'chalav in the guy shapat. Well, what's in the guy shapat? Are we dealing with a guy shapat of milk? In other words, let's say so the guy shapat has blios of fleishiks in the pot, and he's cooking milk. So the Shach says, no, even if the guy is cooking broccoli. And if you look at the Makor for this and the Shilti Giborim on the Mordechai, it sounds this way, like the Shach says, even if the guy is cooking broccoli, he's cooking water, you're still not allowed to do Chitui Gechalim under his pot. Why? Bishul Basar B'chalav. Now, this is Bishul Achar Bishul, right? He's not cooking Basar B'chalav now. In his pot is neither Basar nor Chalav. Everything's already been cooked. All there is water. Still, it's bishul basar b'chalav. According to Rama, it's asr, because the bishul basar b'chalav not going to eat it. It's asr mishum bevashel. So clearly, you see, that the Rama is saying that we are concerned with bishul achar bishul bebasar b'chalav, even if the bishul's already taken place. Meaning to say the blios of basar and the blios of chalav that are in this water have already been cooked before. It's true, they're entering a new medium. Nevertheless, they have been cooked. So therefore, it seems that he's concerned with bishul achar bishul bebasar b'chalav. Now, could you be docha this raya? So you could be docha for a number of reasons. So that's who makes that diuk, by the way? The Gilyan Marsha. The Gilyan Marsha over there, the second Gilyan Marsha, says you see from the Rama that he's concerned with bishul achar bishul even when the bishul's already been created. So you can be doing the raya for a number of reasons. Number one is that's only a chumra. The Rama, after all those halachos, says that these things are chumras ba'alma. So maybe, why is it a chumra? Why is it not arsa mikar din? Because ain bishul achar bishul. It's hard to know, because the Rama, except for the fourth case, doesn't actually tell you why these are chumras. As we'll see, this leaves plenty of room for all the achronim to have many theories as to why the various chumras of the Rama are only chumras. Though, the truth is... that in this case, it's a double chumra. If you look at the Shach, Sifkat and Yudches, when describing this halacha, he writes, Ein ze el chumra be'alma. And the Achronim, at least many Achronim assume that this din is like a super chumra be'alma. They're all chumras, and this is a chumra agabe chumra. Why is this chumra even more kal than all the other chumras? So some say because it's bishul achar bishul. So a number of Achronim say that the reason why this is a chumra al gabi chumra is because really ain bishal achar bishal A. B, some so then you don't have a raya from here that yesh bishal achar bishal even if they've already been cooked. But other Rachmanim say, no, it's a chumra al gabe chumra because it's only blios, there's no mamish basar or chalav. And that's why it's a chumra al gabe chumra. In which case, on the fundamental question of yesh bishal achar bishal, you can derive from here. That's probably what the Gilead Marsha says. You could see from here, yesh bishal achar bishal even zon to be cooked together. Another possibility is what Ariel's alluding to, that because you're going into a new medium, so maybe that changes things. Another possibility is because it's some say it's only a chumra al gabe chumra because when the shach says this is a chumra al gabe chumra, it's because he's not talking about the etzem stoking it. He's talking about the fact that you have to go ahead and get separate kalim for your guy, you know, milchiks and fleishiks, treif kalims, that go that far and to be concerned, then it's only a suffix and this and that. But fundamentally, the Ramah agrees that if you knew this were true, if you had a kli ben yomo that was bala basar and basar bala chalav, for sure, for the Jew to stoke the coals, that would actually be asar mikra din. It's only a chumra be'alma because we don't know that happened, and then to say you need separate kalim and the like. So it's unclear. Depending, what comes out bottom line is depending on how you understand why that's only a chumra, then this may or may not be a raya to bishal achar bishal in the case where it's already been cooked. So if you think that every additional amount of bishal is bishal, right? So yes. That's Rabbi Kibaker's kash. When we get to something to bring.
Let's say
you're further in cooking.
But it's happening without your chitoy.
Well, I'm furthering the bishul.
But furthering bishul, that's a
so everybody bishul. Assumes that furthering bishul is bishul harav. If you
that
took it,
that
seems
you could say that right now.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But that seems to be the assumption.
Fire, right?
The assumption that everybody's making is just like if you transfer it from one fire to another fire.
That
I understand.
At that point, it's no longer bishul.
I understand. Yeah, you're nothing
but right now.
Yeah, since you're furthering, it's a good ha'ara, but it seems to be the assumption, maybe others question this assumption, but from the postkim that I saw,
that the oven is talking about it, where it's tackle is going out. It's
maybe.
Yeah. Of the svara, can you say that the Isser of Bishul Basar Chalav is only when you actually create a new Isser of Basar Chalav?
Yes, absolutely.
But when you're already Basar Chalav, you must
be. That is exactly the svara tepater over here. Correct. Yeah. Yeah, that is an excellent svara, and that might be the very reason why the poskim that are makel, because they look at it exactly the way you're looking at it. One other place where you see the poskim in our siman, I don't know any other poskim, but the poskim in our siman debate this very question of bishul achar bishul, what's already been cooked, is in the Pischei Tshuva, sif katan dalid, in our siman, pei zayin. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Shar Ephraim, that says, let's say you have chema shenizbashla bekeder shel basar, and you take that chema to make a candle, it's asar to light that candle. Why? Bishul basar b'chalav. So first of all, you see that the Shar Ephraim, which seems to be accepted by the Pischei Tshuva, says, yesh bishul achar bishul, even though you're not doing anything new, right? This butter has already been cooked with blio shel basar in it the first time, and you're simply redoing it. And still, it's asr because of bishul basar b'chalav. So definitely the Shar Ephraim, cited by the, seemingly accepted by the Pischei Tshuva, holds yesh bishul achar bishul, even if they've already been cooked together. Lafuke, Sammy's point. Now then, the Pischei Tshuva continues, and he writes that not only it's usher also to be nana, right? Ladlik and he says, well, saying that there's no isser bishul. B'chemash is bashul b'gedera shel basar ben yomo. Usher lahadlik ba lahayir habayis mitam she usher b'ana. V'gam lahadlik ba v'nerchan erazan naz mimenu. So you're saying, so you're saying I read it wrong. I thought it was Aser because of Bishul as well. But maybe he's only Asering it because of Hana.
Okay.
Sorry?
Doesn't he say it later?
I don't, does, you have it? You have to look it up. Now, Derech Agav, in that Shar Ephraim, you see a number of chidushim. So number one is that there's a concern of bishul achar bishul, but maybe that's wrong. Number two, you see not like Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Udime, because there it's Derech Klaya, and still it's Aser. And Taka, the Yad Avram, at the end of the simen is Matir, because he says this is Havara the low bishul.
Sure, again, if you're not thinking of the second thing is not Palos also.
Yeah, so that we have to find out. Number three is that you see that he holds that there's Basar B'chal of Deoraisa, even though there's only Blios. We'll return to that a little later. And then he says a fascinating thing. He says, just not so much in terms of Dine Basar B'chal, but he says that it's a problem for Neres Chanukah because Ksuse Mechta Shiura. So this is a chiddush on two levels. I remember Rabbi Kanak made this point. Number one is that the pashtus is that ketusei mechta shiur is only for avodah zarah, and not for other dinim. So you see that he says this for all dinim, and this gets back to the question we alluded to earlier, whether that basar b'chal is minan ekvarim and not minan esrafin. The second thing is, he says, very interesting, because pashtus, the shiur for Ner Chanukah, is not a din in the cheftza. It's a din that has to burn for half hour, and it's going to burn for half hour. So you see, no, you don't say that. This gets into electricity. They talk about this magical oil, Ner Shel Neis. Well, what happened in the Ner Chanukah, right? So you could bring up this this Pesach Tshuva when you discuss that question. All right. So let's move on. I know we're going very slowly. Sif Dalet. That's the end of the introduction. Mm-hmm. Okay. All the shilas from the introduction, we'll see, they come back again and again in the simon. So the Mechaber quotes from the Tshuvas HaRashba that it's aser to cook chalav isha, let's say meat with chalav isha, l'chatchila because of maris ayin. The Rama writes, if that's true, so kol shekin, there should be maris ayin, let's say, by chalav tmeya. Earlier it sounded like there was no issue at all with cooking basar with chalav tmeya. Why it should be Asher Mishum Maris Ayin. And therefore the Ramah says, no, Takat is Asher Mishum Maris Ayin. And if you look at the Ramah and Taras Chata, see, Takat leaves the Rashba with the Sarchiyah, right? Why is it that the Rashba is make, according to the Rashba, that the Rashba seems to hold that it's Asher Mishum Maris Ayin B'chalav Isha, but there's no Maris Ayin for Chalav Tmeya, and Sarchiyah, that should be a Kol Shekin. Now, the Shach also assumed that it's Pashut that according to the Rashba, there's going to be no Maris Ayin B'chalav Tmeya. And he goes back and forth about why and the like. Now, the truth is, if you actually look at the Tshuvas HaRashba inside, the Rashba says exactly what the Ramah wants him to say, which is that there is Maris Ayin by Chalav Tmeya. So the Chidah points out that it seems like this whole, all the Yachronim didn't have the Tshuvas HaRashba, because their whole discussion, the Rashba is exactly what the Ramah says he should say, and the Shach, who's trying to do the Yashiv of the Rashba, is against the Rashba, because the Rashba actually says what the Ramah says. So, but nevertheless, we have to learn the Shach, and the Shach assumes that, and the simple reading of Mechaber is this way, that according to the Rashba, there is a din of Maris Ayin for Chalav Isha, but there's no din of Maris Ayin for Chalav Tmei. And the question is why? How do you answer up the kasha of the Ramah? So the Shach has two answers. His first answer is that there's actually never Maris Ayin for Bishul. Why? Like we said before, maybe you're doing it L'chola. Now, we'll explain that for a moment, in a moment. But there's never Maris Ayin. And then the Shach says, really, even the Ramah agrees to this, though then there's a stira in the Ramah, which is a problem, as the Shach notes. And that's his first answer. So there's never an Isser Bishul, and that's why there's no issue of Isser Bishul for Behema B'chalav Isha, and there's no Isser Bishul for Behema B'chalav Tmeya. Equally, there's no Maris Ayin. What the Shulchan Aruch says, it's Aser Levashel? Nah. When it says Aser Levashel, means Aser Lechol, Lashon HaKran Nakat, and the Shach says that there are other places in our Siman, well, we'll say the same thing, that when the Shulchan Aruch says it's an Isser Levasha, it means Isser Lachol. That's the Shach's first answer. The second answer, he says, he thinks that's the Iker answer. The second answer, he says, is that there's no Maris Ayin for Chalav Temeya because it looks different. It's green. It doesn't look like cow's milk or kosher milk. So that's why there's no Kal v'chomer. Chalav Isha looks like kosher milk. Camel's milk doesn't look like kosher's milk. So Memela, there's Maris Ayin for one, there's no Maris Ayin for the other. That's the second answer. So that's the answer he likes. The Taz might say that as well. That's not the answer he likes, though. He likes the first answer better. Now, what does he mean that... There's just a confusing point in the Shach that got me confused. I just want to say it out. Maybe you didn't get confused. At first, the Shach says that there's no Maris Ayin because... There's no Maris Ayin for Bishul because... maybe it's refua and even chol she'ein bo sakana. And in other words, let's say it that way. The Shach is explaining, if you learn like the Ramah, that it's aser levashel because of maris ayin, so why did we say the halacha before by chalav tameya that it's mutter? It's telling you it's mutter in terms of bishul basar b'chalav. It's still aser anyway because of maris ayin. So why do you have to tell me it's mutter al tilchus basar b'chalav? Who cares? It's aser anyway. Nafka mina l'refua. Now, the Shach tells you an interesting point, which is that refua, there's no iser maris ayin l'tzarch refua, and even chol she'ein bo sakana. You see that in the Taz as well. Then he says there's no iser of maris ayin ever for bishul because it's l'refua. Now, what does that mean? But it's not l'refua. So what the Shach seems to be saying over here is that because someone who sees you might think you're cooking at refuah, now, when are you allowed to cook real basar b'chalav for refuah? The answer is only chola sheyesh bo sakana, right? So since you might be cooking this for chola sheyesh bo sakana, then memela there's no issue of maris ayin for refuah, and that's what we said before because the threshold isn't met. Now, why does it only apply for bishul, not for achila? Because if they see you eating it, so they can see you're not a chola sheyesh bo sakana. So there's Maris Ayin. But when they see you cooking it, you might be healthy, but who knows who you're cooking it for. So therefore, there isn't Maris Ayin. So that's only going to be for Chol HaSheyesh Bo Sakana. But since you might be cooking it for Chol HaSheyesh Bo Sakana, Memela, there's no Maris Ayin for all Bishul. That's the view of the Shach.
But I put a different thing, because maybe you're cooking it, you don't have to eat it. You're cooking it for smearing it on yourself.
Oh, so it's an interesting point. So then the Rashba says, I wasn't going to get into it. The Shach says, there's no issue of Maris Ayin for Bishul because maybe it's for Chola Sheish Bosa Chola or Kiyotze Bo, like some other thing. So what is the Kiyotze Bo? So if you learn like Rav Moshe Soloveitchik or others, you don't have to go as far as him, but others that say that there are times that it's mutter to cook Basar B'chalav as long as it's not Lachila or the like, so then the Kiyotze Bo makes a lot of sense, right? That's what you are perhaps being Meramis to. Because the Shach doesn't tell you what the Kiyotze Bo is. And everybody that quotes the Shach, like the Prima Gadim, they say, there's no Maris Ayin for cooking because it's for Chol HaSheyesh Bo Sakana or some other thing. But they know, nobody ever tells you, at least that I found, what the other thing is. But if you learn like Rav Moshe, so then it's very meduyak. Because there are going to be cases where it's mutter levashel bas b'chala, as long as it's not the frachila. Okay, good. Sif, hey, could we push it? Let's go. So the Gemara, so to understand Sif Hei, we need to know a little bit about eggs and the halachos of eggs. So if you look at the Gemara in Beitza Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, there's a machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov. What's the din of eggs that are found in a hen, after Shechita? Those of you who remember from the good old days, these are sometimes known as soup eggs because they were put into soup. Very delicious. Okay, can't find them in too many places now. But if you go to Williamsburg or Borough Park, you know where to look. You can still get them. Fine. So what's the halacha by soup eggs? So the Chachamim say that if the beitzim are gemuros, mutter l'achlan b'chalav, and if they're not gemuros, aser l'achlan b'chalav. And Rabbi Yaakov says that if they're me'urim begidin, it's aser l'achlan b'chalav. Okay? So we have to define what gemuros are, but the Chachamim say as long as they're gemuros, these eggs are parva. And Rabbi Yaakov says, no, if they're me'ura begidin, they're not parv, even if they're gemuros. Rabbi Yaakov is a chumra. So who do we paskin like? So the Beis Yosef points out that most Rishonim paskin like the Chachamim. And therefore, as long as they're gemuros, it's done. But the Shach, Sif Katan Yod, in our Siman writes, that the Behag and the Rif and other Rishonim were machmir for Rabbi Yaakov, and therefore were choshesh, that as long as they're me'urin begidin, they are not yet parav. Now, going back to the position of the Chachamim, what does it mean, gemuros? What is considered beitzim gemuros? So there are three shitos in the Rishonim. Shita number one is Rashi in Beitza, Tosfos in Beitza, Rush in Beitza, that when it's nigmar hachelmon, it's beitzim gemurin. The position of the Rashban, Tarsabayas, and this is the opinion cited in our Shulchan Aruch, is that you need nigmar hachelmon vehachelbon. And finally, position number three, this is a sheet of the Rashbam and others, is that you need calcification. You need the klipa to be hard to be considered nigmar beitza. So the position that the Shulchan Aruch paskins like is the middle position. Rashi's more makil, Rashbam is more machmir, and the middle position is chelbon v'chelbon. And in terms of the other question of who do we paskin like Rabbi Yaakov or the Chachamim, so here the Shulchan Aruch is Meiko, and he says we paskin like the Chachamim. The Shach in Sifkat and Yud, A, quotes the view of the Rashbam, who says, no, you need calcification. And B, he cites the view that some paskin like Rabbi Yaakov. So what's the bottom line halacha according to the Shach? So he writes, l'chatchila, you should follow the shita of the Rashbam, and it's only mutter if you have calcification. And then bidyaved, meaning to say you already, let's say, mixed this egg with milk. So then you could be makel only if two conditions are met. Number one, nigmar hachelmon v'chelbon. Here, b'di'evit, you could be somech on the Rashi. B, you need it to be einan me'uran begidin, meaning to say, even b'di'evit were choshish for the Rishonim that paskin like Rabbi Yaakov, yeah, like the Behag. And then he writes, but behesed meruba, he's willing to be make a like Rashi v'siyato, that even if nigmar hachelmon levad, and it's me'ura begidin, you could be make a. So behesed meruba. So the Shulchan Aruch l'chatchila is more the Shach l'chatchila is more machmir than the Mechaber, and the Mafum Hefsin Meruba is more megil than the Mechaber. Now, there is a second nafkamina to this question. One nafkamina is the one we've been discussing until now, which is the Beitza fleishik? In other words, we see it as part of the animal, it's still meat, or is the egg parif? And nafkamina is for Basar B'chalav, which anyways only a derabbanan shayla, right? Because it's going to be no worse than the oaf itself. The second nafkamina to the shayla is for dinim of Eivir Menachai. For example, hika biznavo v'yatza beitza. So here, until now, there was no issue of Eivir Menachai. The chicken was shechted. There's definitely no Eivir Menachai. The shayla is it parev or is it fleishiks? Mashein kein hika biznavo, so the chicken is still around. So if we see this beitza as part of the chicken, right? Let's say we hold its bisari, it wasn't fully formed. So now this is Eivir Menachai. It's like a piece of the chicken fell off. Chicken's still alive, it should be aser to eat, whether you eat it with milchiks or with fleishiks. But if we say no, that this is a fully formed egg, so then we know that a chicken that lays an egg is not Eivir Menachai. So that should be the other nafkamina to the shayla. The problem is that the Shulchan Aruch has two different psakim in two different places about this same shayla. Over here, he says that nigmar chelmon v'chelbon is mutter, meaning to say as long as you have chelmon v'chelbon, it should be beitza gemura. But in Simon Peivav he wrote, and you don't, it, even if it's meur begidin, it's mutter, it's still considered parva as long as it's nigmar chelmon v'chelbon. But in Simon Peivav Sivdalit he writes, by Eivir Menachai, that hika betarnegoles alznava v'tila beitzim asuros, Mishum Eivir Menachai, in this case, if it's Mu'ura. So, how are you Miyashev, the Stir and Shulchan Aruch? So, the Shach answer gives three answers. Answer number one is Basharof Bechalav is a din derabanan, Eiver Menachai is a din deraisa. So our standards, right, fundamentally these are the same question in two different applications, but we're makel over here for a din derabanan, we're machmir over there for a din deraisa. Answer number two, this is a fascinating answer, that here it's different because kol chad v'chad is mutter b'fnei atzmo. Now why is that so fascinating? Because if it's aser, it's aser. If it's mutter, it's mutter. If you think the two shailas are tali zebezeh, they're two. So bishlama to say, okay, we're going to hold of not bar not being more mekel because kol chad v'chad ba'apei nafshe is mutter. Right? But why should that be relevant over here? We won't get into that now. Keep that in mind. We're going to see this svara come back again and again, and now maramakam hulacha, interesting application there. Finally, his third answer, which is the most fundamental answer, is he says, the truth of the matter is these two questions have nothing to do with each other. It's not a steer at Shulchan Aruch at all. Why? One is the Shaila of Eiver Menachai, one is the Shaila of Bas Bechalav. Why don't they have to do with each other? So let's give an example. Eiver Menachai, for something to be Eiver Menachai, so it doesn't mean Lamasha. Okay, give your example. If it wasn't for Xeris HaKasav, milk would be Eiver Menachai. Right? Well, nobody thinks milk is fleishiks. Elamai, since the animal's alive, I would think that anything that comes out of that animal is going to be aser misham Eiver Menachai. Right? Same thing with eggs. So we have Xeris HaKasav that milk and eggs are okay. It's Shiloh, but eggs, if it's a separate Xeris HaKasav, the same Xeris HaKasav, but Lamaisa, Xeris HaKasav. Milk and eggs are okay. So there's no Eiver Menachai. But just because... So that's one Shaila. Now here, since it's Mu'ur Begidin, so maybe the Xeris HaKasav doesn't apply. Maybe the Xeris HaKasav of milk and eggs says that when something is totally separated from the animal, like it lays the egg, or the milk is milked. So that's when there's no Eiver Menachai. But if it's still Mu'ur Begidin when it came out, so now it is Eiver Menachai. Right, we have no Xeris HaKasav telling me it's not Eiver Menachai, so that's why we're machmir. That's going to be Eiver Menachai. But that doesn't tell me that it's fleishiks. That doesn't tell me that it's basar. That just tells me it's Eiver Menachai. So maybe I'm going to go ahead and I'll split the shailas. This is definitely not basar, but it still might be Eiver Menachai. And therefore the Al-Kasha doesn't even start. And the Shach says, I'll bring you a raya. There's an opinion. This is a view of the Ramban. That the Ramban is quoted by the Rush. He says Ramban, but it probably means Ramban. We don't know either way, I think, where it is. That mechalav, meaning to say whey, we'll see exactly what that is shortly, is Eiver Menachai. Right? Why should, what do you mean? The milk is mutter. Answer is that chalav is mutter. There's a Xeris HaKasav, Elas Vash, chalav, udvash, chalav is an Eiver Menachai. But this isn't chalav anymore. This has been extracted from the chalav. This is mechalav. Mechalav is not mutter. Now, nobody's going to say that mechalav is fleishiks. Right? That opinion that says mechalav is aser because mei menachai, it's not fleishiks. So you see that fundamentally, the two questions have nothing to do with each other. Now, it happens to be that we don't pask in that way, for whatever reason, either because the Rush says it's Xeris HaKasav, the Shach thing, in other words, it's only a din by basar b'chalav that we say it's not chalav, but not for other dinim. The Shach thinks over there you don't even need a Xeris HaKasav because the gil, when the Torah said that you're allowed to milk an animal, so the Torah is saying that things that have been separated aren't Eiver Menachai. So Mimela, this is mutter even without a Xeris HaKasav. Whatever reason is, the point is we pass it's not Eiver Menachai. But nevertheless, that teaches me the idea that there's even a tzad lahachmir, that Eiver Menachai and the shaila of basar, fleishiks, or milchiks are two separate shailas. Lemaisa, we are mekel and mechalav, except for briskers. If you ever seen briskers, when they have a leaven, right, so they pour off the water on top, or like a yogurt, you know that stuff, because that's Eiver Menachai. Right, you didn't even know. Hamtem shel tzadikim. All right, chevra, two announcements, quickly. Number one, Bezer Hashem, we'll have a mesiba at my house Wednesday night at 8:15. So if you can make it, 475 186th Street, apartment 1D. Announcement number two, you might find yourself ahead of where we are because this introduction has taken longer than it's supposed to. So if that's the case, First of all, when you do Simen Pei Ches and Pei Tes, you'll have a chance to look at the Gemara and the Rishonim and learn the Sugya properly before the Beis Yosef. Also, we might do a more abridged version of Tzadi. So if you're ahead, go Viter, so you could do Simen Tzadi properly. Also, we've already seen a number of parts of Basar B'Challav. We saw most of Tzadi Aleph. We saw the difficult parts of Tzadi Beis. So if you find yourself that you're ahead, so it gives you a chance to relearn those things. So don't worry if you're ahead, and eventually you'll be behind. Okay. Very confirmed. Oh, last thing, sorry. We have Shir on Wednesday at 11:45. Does that work for everybody? Since Mincha is 11:45. Okay. Please spread the word. 11:45 Mincha Shir here on Wednesday.